This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, another busy show from the road today. I've got Pastor Daniel Williamson, plus I've got some news on Canada. Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. A little old news on Canada, but news nonetheless, since I was just so close to the Canadian border and they're so wacky up there. Not all Canadians. I mean, you had those truckers that tried to change things, but Canada is just a lost cause. I'm sure you've heard about their push on guns. We'll get to that here. You know, ban the handguns. We'll get to that in just a second. Also, I've got an interview today with another candidate for Flagstaff mayor, trying to get all these candidates in. I think we have someone tomorrow as well. Actually, I think it's Representative Walt Blackman, a full in-depth interview with him. And we've got other requests for next week and then leading up to when the mail-in ballots go out, which is on July 6th. And so it's coming up upon us pretty quickly. But anyway, Olivia's here with me today, and we did Michigan.
Yeah, we're still going down that.
Yeah, we're pretty close to being done with Michigan, so we'll check this off our list, and then we've decided to expand the trip a little bit to cut through Ohio, Indiana, Ohio, and then West Virginia, and then over through Kentucky to add some more states.
I am determined to not be left hanging for an entire year at 39 states.
Yeah, Olivia hit 39.
I have to at least reach 40.
I hit 49 states. But I figure we're over here. I don't know when I get back up here. I mean, there's so many places to see. And so we'll hit them on this trip and up the state count a little bit. But, yeah, Michigan's been good. We'll tell you all about it here. Let's see. I'd love to hear from you. Send a comment. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I think Olivia has some that she'll get to here in just a second. Right, Olivia? Am I
yeah.
correct? Let me see who I... Oh, yeah. Today's DeMarco's Pizza.
Mm.
I wish we had some DeMarco's Pizza.
All
we've got from DeMarco's is a sweatshirt here that Isabel brought and didn't bring us an extra sweatshirt. It's been cold. I wish I had a DeMarco's sweatshirt hoodie.
It's like we all packed just shorts and stuff. It's freezing.
Yeah, I would love them. So you can go there and buy a sweatshirt, but I know that you don't need a sweatshirt because I talked to my dad and he said it's been cranking warm. So I'm sorry for that, but that's not the case where I'm at.
Yeah, we're here talking about being all freezing and everyone
yeah.
else is like sweating, like, oh, it's so
and
hot.
And I hate to break it, raining and wet and swampy all over the place. But DeMarco's Pizza is locally owned and operated for over 40 years. You know, owners Dave and Tommy are present daily. You hear Dave on the program quite often. And you can go by one of their three locations, or you can order at namarcospizza.com or call for curbside pickup or delivery, 928-779-0024. That's 928-779-0024. Check out their great variety of cold craft beers and on tap, as well as wine by the glass and by the bottle. Don't forget their lunch specials Monday through Friday as well from 11 to 2. All right, Olivia, before we get to Pastor Daniel Williamson and his interview, running for mayor of Flagstaff, a lot of topics to cover with him, including forest health, forest fires, housing issues. You've got an email that I think we can do right now. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
Yes, this is from Jen in Cottonwood. Share something that you didn't expect on the road or that surprised you.
Share something I didn't expect on the road or that surprised me. Right off the bat, when we went through New Mexico, so we decided
to...
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like, man, New Mexico. New Mexico has some beautiful areas, believe me.
Some.
Yeah, and even central New Mexico, which is where we went through, has beautiful areas. We went to an old mission there. I can't remember the name. What is that? Salinas Mission, kind of in central. Angela's my brain trust whenever I freeze up on everything. She has it for me like that.
How do you remember
that? Yeah, how do you remember that? I mean, I got the sticker on the back of the camper, but I'll never remember that. But anyway, we went from Camp Verde, we left this time, and we went through the White Mountains. And after you get out of the White Mountains, you get into New Mexico, and you stop at Pie Town.
That
was cool.
That pie is one of my favorite things, and it was amazing.
Great pie at Pie Town, just not too far into New Mexico.
Population, like, three.
Three people and lots of pies. But you go through the rest of New Mexico, and It is kind of like, it's like a dystopian science fiction movie in central New Mexico. It
like, how
weird.
Are there that many abandoned houses? Like, how is each and every town we drive through, like, three quarters abandoned?
It was crazy. It was half of the towns, or the towns we went through, half of the buildings were vacant in central New Mexico.
Or
New
more
Mexico.
Than half.
Yeah, New Mexico is rated one of the poorest states, top five poorest states in this nation. And man, you can tell. It is so poorly run, and vacant buildings everywhere. There was like a company town we went to. What was the name of that one? Do you remember the name of that one?
Vaughn,
New Mexico. Abandoned building. And I kept seeing these. We were hungry.
We were like desperate.
Yeah, where's some food, right? And I kept seeing cafe signs, but they were like from 50 years ago, and the building was abandoned.
I know, it's like the sign's still there.
Yeah, it was like Mad Max. The wind was blowing like 60 miles an hour. There was dust.
The tumbleweeds were like going up into the windshield.
It was weird, and just travelers going. It's kind of like, and then we finally found this restaurant, this gleaming, a 50s style, what is that? Aluminum
diner.
Shiny diner, you know, like the Galaxy Diner in Flagstaff kind of looked like that, right? And we're like, wow, it's open, and there's people. It's the only place in town. It was like in Star Wars, you know, you're in what was that, Tatooine? Yeah, where you go into the Star Wars, the original one, the first one, where they go into the outpost, and then Han Solo shoots the guy, and they you know, it's like that outpost. That's what it was like. It was crazy, but it was a company town. So the railroad, BNSF, I got that. They paid this diner to stay open 24/7.
So that their people had somewhere to eat.
Union Pacific, sorry. So that way people have something to eat there. And the hotel, they kind of keep it going. It's weird. But anyway, my point being here, Jen from Cottonwood, that surprised the heck out of me. And I was like, is this a glimpse of some future, you know, of rural America? I certainly hope not. Another thing that surprises me while traveling is how rural and open, and I say this every time I do big road trips.
See, that didn't surprise me.
No, okay, it doesn't. It's more of an observation. The ding-dongs in Washington, D.C., the Ocasio-Cortezes and all these people that say the world's about to end. And
there's no more forest.
There's no more forest. Oh, my God. Take a ride. Every direction you go, open
there's
space.
There's too much forest.
Vast resources of untapped forest. Michigan is heavily forested. Minnesota, just like the Northwest, just like so many areas, every direction you go is tons of open space. So that's something I always like to point out is I think these people that are setting policy for America, they wake up in the concrete jungle in some overpopulated city where there's everybody crammed together, and that's how they'd like you to live. They don't like that you live out, if you live in rural and you have, you know, a quarter an acre or 4,000 acres, they hate that. They don't want that. Don't want you to have your guns, don't want you to have your property. They just hate it. They think everything is being paved over. They've just never been anywhere.
No. I mean, they've been
no
in
chance.
Their nice big city.
Their nice big city, yeah.
Or they've flown over.
Yeah, flyover.
Things.
That's what they call it, flyover country. By the way, just paid $5.19 to fill up in Michigan, which is, you know, a heavily taxed state. I did look up. It tapped me out at $80. So I'm filling up and it stops. I'm like, oh, that ain't going to do it. Had to put the card back in. So these places aren't adjusting for the high gas prices. Put the card back in and it took another $35 to fill it up. AAA national gas average now at $4.95. We'll be broaching $5. I've been watching it go up like a slot machine wheel as we've been traveling across the country. Unfortunately, Arizona is one of the highest priced in the nation at $5.18 per gallon. Not as high as California, though. California is now at $6.39 per gallon for gasoline.
Like, so how are you even driving?
Yeah, how are you even driving at that point? So expect more Californians to be hitting Arizona soon for just a little cheaper gas. Diesel at $5.71 according to AAA national average. So you know it's a heck of a lot more in places like California. By the way, just an observation, still on Jen's email here. And we've got Pastor Daniel Williamson coming up in just a little bit to talk about his candidacy for Flagstaff mayor. Also, a very in-depth interview, so looking forward to getting that out to you here in just a second. But very few out-of-state plates as we're traveling. Obviously, I think people are cutting back. On the weekends, it seems to fill up. We're staying at a lot of campgrounds. I think people have really cut back because of these high gas prices. And I'm not seeing the out-of-state prices. I think people are staying in their, you know, areas a lot more And I think you're going to see more of that going forward because it's expensive. I mean, we're saving on hotel rooms, but we're burning up gas. Burning
and we're
up-
also on a food tour. We're getting, like, as much food from all over as we can, like cheese and pie and, I don't know, stuff like
yeah.
that. Can I say real quick what surprised me?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I forgot okay, about so, you, sorry.
One thing was the swamps.
Okay.
Like, all along the side of the road and the turtles and stuff in there because I love turtles.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was... about the Great Lakes, I did not know how cold they were. They're like, you stick your finger in there and it goes numb.
You're dead.
Like, we were saying, we were riding a ferry this morning. It's like, they don't even tell us where the life jackets are because if we fell into there and we're rescued within, like, 1 minute,
they don't even bother.
Frozen.
Yeah, it's like Leo on the, or Jack on the, in Titanic on the door, or was that Kate? Didn't let Jack on. We'd be like, you fall in and you're just an instant like icicle.
Like,
you're like,
I'm going to take this
No, it's 40 degrees.
Just hang outside.
Beautiful beaches. Oh, we had a bug catastrophe, too. I mean, there was, I've never seen so many mosquito type things. We did do Mackinac Island in northern Michigan. I highly recommend that. We biked 8 miles this morning around the island. It was very cool. Very cool thing to see. No cars on the island.
Horses.
It's like a little utopian paradise there, right? Horses. Yeah, horses and bikes. Hey, if you're looking to refinance your home, if you're looking to consolidate debt, get rid of high interest rate credit cards, you got a home that's increasing some value. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. She's done that for my family. She's helped out in a refinance, does an excellent job. Also, if you're in a situation where you have like a rural or an off-grid property, she's got programs for that. Call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, whether you're looking to purchase or refinance a home or a property, she can help you out. I think rates will be more down the road here. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you for certain, but that's why I did it, because I'm thinking next year I'll be kicking myself. So give Kim Dawson a call at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or you can go online to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Quick disclaimer here, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, an equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. All right, Olivia will probably be back. Will you be back?
Perhaps.
Yeah, we've got more comments, and you can send those comments to talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Also, we'll tell you more about our travels, but let's come back with interview with one of the candidates for Flagstaff Mayor, Pastor Daniel Williamson. And remember, most of the interviews are up. I've got a little catch up to do for the past couple of days. Most of the interviews, including my interview with Blake Masters that went viral across the country, and a controversial interview apparently that media from around the country and around the world has picked up on. You can check out that by going to talkwithjeff.com. Click on Election 2022. Hang tight. Back with Pastor Daniel Williamson. All right, it is Wednesday. That means we got great specials up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Up by the hospital in Flagstaff in the Bashes Shopping Center, voted best sports bar many years in a row. I can't wait to get back to Flagstaff and get my favorite Wing Wednesday, which is going on right now. Wing Wednesday, half-price wings. Check that out. Take advantage of that. Plus, it's always happy hour at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Tell them I sent you. Get some wings today. And don't forget they got specials Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Great deals, including yesterday if you missed Taco Tuesday. So write that one down. Wing Wednesday going on up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital in the Bashers Shopping Center. All right, I do want to welcome back to the program Pastor Daniel Williamson, who is also a candidate for Flagstaff Mayor in the upcoming primary. And hey, Daniel, welcome back. How you doing?
Good, Jeff. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it, man.
We spoke a few weeks ago. You were still getting the signatures to get on the ballot, and here we are now, really just weeks away from the primary. I mean, July 6th, I think these ballots go out.
Yep.
And then the primary is August 2nd, so no time at all. And it's been... I want to get back to your story and remind listeners about kind of your background in a second, but I can say that this nonpartisan election, because... we got 91 cities and towns in Arizona, and only one of them has partisan elections where they actually have an R and a D next to their name, and that's the city of Tucson. And that city's been really jacked up for a long time.
Right.
We know partisanship exists, though, but it's supposed to be nonpartisan, these local elections, for a lot of reasons. That's not been your experience, though.
No, not at all.
What happened? I mean, you got the signatures since we last spoke to get on the ballot for mayor of Flagstaff, and then it kind of blew up.
Yeah. Well, I pulled my papers on February 2nd, so I did put myself in a little bit of a time crunch. But when you don't know precedents, 1,602 signatures wasn't some out of the ballpark figure for me. It was a goal I have to achieve. I'm a person who grinds to get stuff done, even if it's in a time crunch. And so I knew, okay, I've got till April 4th to get this done, and I'm going to get it done. And so that's what we did. We put a team together. We hit the streets. We knocked on doors. We stood in parking lots.
Yeah.
And we got 2,002 signatures.
So you think I'm 400 over? I'm good. My wife signed your petition. By the way, she was at the Flagstaff Christian School, and you showed up there. You were all over the place.
Yeah, we did. We knew we had to be broad in our approach to this if we were going to accomplish it. And what some things I had studied and some advice I had gotten was if you can get a little bit over 20% above the minimum, statistically you're somewhat safe.
Yeah.
You know? That proved to be, accurate in my particular situation.
It was close. Yeah.
It was very close. You know, I ended up with 1,624 valid signatures out of the 1,602. But, man, 1,602, 1,603, whatever, wherever I landed, I'm on the ballot. And, that's ultimately what counts. I think that's fair for Flagstaff. I think that's right for the voters in Flagstaff just to have options. You know, I think some of the criticism that we received since then was – because of my particular stance, I might be anti-voting rights.
How's that?
Well, they just say that because you're a Republican,
okay,
that you automatically are against expansion or anti-voting rights.
Yeah, that's kind of the blanket thing. And you experienced that. So what was interesting and what really made me mad, Daniel, and what made, I think, a lot of people upset is that the person or people that challenged it, one of them said something in the local Northern Arizona paper, the Flagstaff paper, the Daily Sun, I believe it was, that she just filed it because you were a Republican. What was the wording?
Yeah, so there were two things. One, she said, because I pulled papers late, I was ripe for a challenge.
Mm.
And then two, it was because I'm a Republican. She said, I have nothing against him as a person,
but
just against the party that is in front of my name or behind my name, wherever that would sit. And that became the driving and the motivation for them to ultimately pull the lawsuit.
Yeah, and they tied it with, you hate this, you don't like that. I mean, all these things that typically, you're bad just because you're a Republican and that's
sure.
it. And I think that turned a lot of people off, though. I really do think, will it have that impact in Flagstaff? I don't know. Flagstaff does have a tradition of electing Republican mayors, though, believe it or not. I don't know if we're past that point in our history. I'm not trying to jinx you here or anything, but when I was on the city council, I was actively ran as a Republican. Jerry Neighbors was actually an independent, but more conservative leaning. I think Joe Donaldson was a Republican.
Republican is Joe
Donaldson. Vasey, I think, was an independent, but I think he had more conservative leanings. It's really... there's been a lot of people have more pro-business conservative kind of leanings that I think have gotten on there than haven't. Do you think that, well, you're running for mayor, so you think there's a chance to get in there again and change this around because it's been a pretty left-leaning Democrat bent council for quite a few years now.
For a number of years, it certainly has. Well, and again, this is nonpartisan. And so because I'm not steeped and deeply rooted in politics necessarily, when you read nonpartisan, you assume that to be somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
Well, we're finding that to be polarized on both sides, ultimately. But again, for me, as the mayor of Flagstaff, it's not Republican or Democrat. It's people focused. It's appropriate policy focused. And it's ultimately what's going to be best for our overall city and the ethos of Flagstaff.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the issues you deal with is, it is not as partisan. Look, it can't come into play. Don't get me wrong. I mean, people's where they stand politically, obviously. But when you're talking about forest health issues, which is a huge issue in Flagstaff, you're talking about housing issues, fire issues, you're talking traffic issues. I mean, traffic is a pretty nonpartisan issue in local communities.
All of those are. The water that ran down Sunnyside, it didn't run on a party ticket.
Yeah.
It ran into people's front doors.
Yeah.
And so to be polarized by either side of the aisle, you know, it does, ultimately it does Flagstaff a disservice, I believe.
I heard they've added sirens for that neighborhood now. Did you see something blurb about that? And because that was the famous picture that went national of the, was it a Prius? It was a car. I don't know which kind.
It was floating down.
It was floating down the street. And I think it was Greenlaw.
It was actually Greenlaw. Yeah,
yeah, it floated down the street in Greenlaw. And just and who knows if that could happen again. You never know with these fire scar areas. Okay, I want to get to some issues here. And we've talked about this in the past, but I want to pick your brain a little further on it. And we're talking with mayoral candidate for the city of Flagstaff, Pastor Daniel Williamson. But before we get to that, Daniel, you told us your background before. I mean, you have a passion for homeless issues because it's something that you've dealt with in the past, and housing sure. issues. Why don't you give us kind of your life story here real quick again?
Yeah. Well, again, I've been a longtime Flagstaff resident. Some good, some bad, a whole lot more good than bad. But you know, when I came into Flagstaff, I didn't have a place to live, and so you know, I found myself unsheltered, if you call it that, but just living in my car for a number of weeks and into yeah. some months, and you know, taking advantage of some of the wraparound services that the social services that Flagstaff has to offer. Now, again, it was in that I was reintroduced to who's now my wife of 28 years, but experiencing that gives you a different level of compassion for that. And it lets you understand the necessity of that as well, too. So, you know, we've experienced that and have been the benefactors of different types of social programs that have helped us get out of the need to have the government assistance. And I think that's what it's all for. It's all meant to build a bridge. And that's where we're at.
Have we gone too far with social programs as far as in this entire country? And I'm kind of branching off on a whole nother topic that we could probably spend hours on. But you got out of it, and you were in a situation where somebody was there to help in a time of need. But I bet you were like, this is going to be a short-term thing. I'm going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. But we see so many people get trapped in a way, in a lot of these programs, whether it be local programs, statewide programs, or national programs, where they're kind of in it for forever. How do we fix that as a nation where everybody's all for, I think everybody, I know I am, I can't speak for everybody, I guess, but for short-term help, and hey, I want to help you get back on your feet, but there's a time limit on this thing.
Yeah, there absolutely should be. So here's a risk that I think that America, that Flagstaff, that we're on the brink of right now, is COVID has reprogrammed the majority of American mindset in what reliability do we need from the government. And if we don't have new leadership, if we don't have new direction that is able to challenge that mindset and go, this was just a bridge. And, you know, we've seen the consequences of when we lean on and depend on the government for far too much as everyday citizens, then our minds get reprogrammed. And so we begin to depend on the government for a longer term than we actually need to.
Or forever. Forever. There's a lot of people. I'm surprised Flagstaff hasn't gone this route because Flagstaff tends to go with the more left-leaning progressive policies. You've seen it in many places in California where they do a guaranteed minimum income. They've talked about this internationally, but there's some communities that have tried this where, hey, here comes Daniel. Here's your $1,000 check just because, you know, you breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we haven't seen that in Flagstaff and Tempe and Tucson yet in Arizona.
Yeah, well, I think if we're not careful, we'll start to see some of that implementation here locally.
What do we do about the homeless issues? I see it in Flagstaff. I see it as I drive around. You see a lot of people kind of on the streets. You see people even under overpasses, mm-hmm. something that we traditionally have thought of as bigger city problems, as California problems. My daughter was just in California. The issue is rampant over there. How do you fix that? And I recently had a candidate for governor of Arizona who came on saying, it seems like if we build this shelter and then make it bigger, it seems like it almost attracts more people. Is that the case, or am I not seeing a lot of things?
That can be the case, but I feel like if the structures that you provide for the unsheltered, for the homeless, if they actually have good programming that's measurable, that a person can come in, they can get life skills, they can get budget skills, they can get resume building skills, they can get how to be a good employee, just some basic life skills. If they can find those in those programs, that alone, I think, eliminates those who were just looking for a hand, looking for somebody to help them and support them, versus the ones who are really seeing this, okay, this is just temporary, this is a bridge. They'll take advantage of those programs and they'll do it right. And we'll see the success of those as well, too. For instance, here in Flag, we've bought two hotels recently.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you if I, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have two new hotels. If all we're doing is providing people a bed and maybe a shower when they need a shower, we're not doing them much good at all. As a matter of fact, we're just creating a further dependency upon that particular service, which those services are intended to run out simply because there's an outcome that's expected for each person that enters those services. And that's part of the biggest problem that we have, is we're just giving these free-for-alls with no accountability, with no personal responsibility, that doesn't create healthy consequences for them once they get through that temporary bridge.
Why is that? Why don't they match it up with like results, with, okay, you got a job, or we're going to help you, and then we wean it off. Look, I've been in real estate for a long time and been in residential rental properties for a long time. And we've worked with a lot of agencies across the board, mm-hmm. government to churches. And there's been times where somebody has taken such advantage of the system, and then they kind of go from church to church. And there's been times where I've told the church, I said, they're gaming you. They're gaming the system. Yeah. Don't go forward with it. I want the money. I want the back rent, but I think this person's really just gaming this whole thing. Why isn't this just ingrained into our system that we've got to have, we're going to cut you out. We're going to help you with $1,000 here, and then it's going to be 800. And we got a program to help you with basic financial matters or something, or life skills, mm-hmm. or we've got an apprenticeship with this company. You can kind of be the grunt for this electrician or whatever. Yeah. Why isn't it there already? Why isn't that an outcome that people see that would be successful?
Well, I think it's clear because you have two narratives that contradict one another. And again, those are nonpartisan, or those are partisan narratives. You have one narrative that's really governed by capitalism and free enterprise, and you can go out, you can do this, you can work hard, and you can make a life and make a name for yourself, versus you have somewhat of a more socialist type of an agenda that says, no, you need to be dependent upon the government. We'll take care of you better than you can take care of yourselves. And so we've had this tension between the two that, again, it's only going to be solved when unity and nonpartisan policies can really come to a place of agreement with each other that will bridge those gaps. I will say, okay, you might need social services a little bit longer than this person, but those social services are intended not to sustain you. They're intended to build a bridge to get you to where you need to be. And then, you know, it's up to you to manage the opportunities that come as a result of that.
And here's the time frame. Here's mm-hmm. the expectations. Are we closer to that or further than that from when you kind of started being involved with all this, honestly?
So I think we're further.
Yeah.
I think we've grown further. And again, some of that's just the consequences of COVID-19, that we've developed a reprogrammed mindset that the government ultimately does have our best interests in mind, which it should. However, how those best interests are executed are two different stories.
All right, we're talking with Flagstaff mayoral candidate Pastor Daniel Williamson. The primary is coming up here for this mayor's race, just like all the other races we're watching. Ballots go out July 6th, and final voting day is August 2nd. Although by August 2nd, you just don't know it. It's pretty much decided because 80% of the people get those mail-in ballots nowadays. Yeah. So, which I think is kind of a bummer. I know we're never going back to that, but I think there's a lot to be said about going back to the, everybody shows up at this date. You've got the 10 hours, 12 hours or whatever, and let's all go vote mm-hmm. with some exceptions. People serving overseas, things like that.
The absentee ballots make sense.
Never going to go back, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of lazy as a society. It's just, can everything show up to our mailbox?
Yeah. Election day is no longer that.
It's election
season.
It's 4 weeks minimum, mm-hmm. You know, between when those ballots go out, which makes it real hard for everybody, including the candidates. Got more with Pastor Daniel Williamson when we come back, so stick around. Plus, get your emails in. Love your comments. Send them in right now. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. While we all love living in northern Arizona, you know our businesses are running and operating in a global economy of tools that connect them to the entire world. You need experts to help you compete and to keep you safe, and since 2007, SunState Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely. I want you to go to sunstatetech.com right now to learn more and to take advantage of their free, no-obligation technology risk assessment. Go ahead. Go do it right now. Let the experts at Sun State Tech keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Visit sunstatetech.com today. Hang tight. Back in just a few. Continue with Pastor Daniel Williamson here in just a second, running for mayor of Flagstaff. If you got a comment, love to hear from you. Just Wireless sponsors our email, also our phone line, but not doing much phones this week, obviously, as I continue to travel. Hopefully next week we'll get back to that. Send me an email, though. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Just Wireless, two locations in Flagstaff. You can get your smartphone fixed, and judging by the price of gas and everything that's gone sky high, you need to save that money, and you can keep your smartphone going for a lot longer than most people think, and that the big phone people lead you to believe. Take your phone to Just Wireless. That's what I've done. Get your charging port fixed, new batteries, cracked screens. Plus, they've got refurbished phones as well. Talk to them about their billing plans, too. You can get phone service through them as well. Check out Just Wireless right across from the Flagstaff Mall, also on Milton Avenue in West Flagstaff, right there by that Cold Stone Creamery. Great sponsor of the program, someone I use. I hope you'll use Just Wireless as well. All right, we are talking with interview here with Pastor Daniel Williamson, who's running to be Flagstaff's next mayor. One of the biggest issues we've been dealing with this year, but we deal with it almost every year, is the fire issues. I know we've talked about it. This is affecting the entire West, really. Arizona's already gotten hit hard this year. Obviously, tunnel fire north of Flagstaff, which has direct impacts on all of Flagstaff, the city limits as well. The museum fire last year, now the flooding issues that are happening there. I ask this of everybody, although I don't know what a city can do other than you get together and you come up with some money and you thin areas around the city to protect watersheds, but there's so much land. I mean, have you given much thought to what would you do? How would you lead on forest fire or forest health issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, in some ways, I think it just reverts back to, you know, strengthening our relationship that we have with the county and the federal government when it comes to those specific branches that are responsible for forest health here in northern Arizona. Where I feel that we've missed the mark is we've refused to, for whatever reason or another, have good mitigation in the areas that are affected, the Grandview corridor, the Sunnyside area. You know, you drive through some of those areas and it looks like, man, it looks like we've been through a war.
It looks like Checkpoint Charlie there in Dortha. Mm-hmm. There's a wall there, and I'm like, when is this wall coming down?
Yeah, and so I think all those residents, they realize this isn't going away anytime soon. So I think that as a mayor who's responsible for what happens within its city limits, that we owe them a great debt of responsibility to help them mitigate, to help them be in an area that they're proud of, not just go in and kind of have to deal with the dysfunction. And I think that's what oftentimes we expect from citizens is you just deal with the dysfunction at the level we're able to bring it to. So I think from that standpoint, it starts where it's been impacted the most. From a local government standpoint, you know, and then as we build relationships and acquire new resources with the county, with the, you know, different flood mitigation branches, you know, that we're just making sure we're doing everything possible to correct those mistakes that should have been corrected, you know, a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that, but there's a crow war going on outside the studio. Yeah. Maybe that's bleeding over into our microphones, but that's a loud one. I almost want to peek out there and see what's going on. They heard us talking about forest health and they went crazy. Anyway, we're here with Daniel Williamson, who's running for mayor of Flagstaff. I think this for me goes back to there's way too much federally controlled land in this mm-hmm. state. I mean, if it's 80, well, there's only like 20% or somebody told me 18% of actual private property in this state. I'm doing a road trip back east, and as soon as you get out of the west, there's a lot more private property ownership. Yeah. Obviously, the West is much different, but I don't know if there's a solution. As a mayor, can you get to the feds and say, hey, can we get some of that back as a state? Can we take care of it on our own? I don't see how that rectifies itself going forward other than catastrophic fires.
Sure. You know, some of that's being dealt with at the water level when you talk about groundwater. You know, there's a Northwest coalition of people who are working hard just to gain control back of our local water resources. And maybe that could be somewhat of a precedent that says, hey, we can do land management, you know, because we're aware of what local land management is supposed to accomplish rather than just this 30,000 foot view. You know, for example, if you look at Flagstaff, I was speaking with one of our district supervisors not too long ago.
Okay. You
know, and they're expecting by the monsoon season in the fall, they're expecting to have some 75-80% of the management of the scars taken care of. That other 20% is being controlled currently by the spotted owl.
Oh, because they can't get to it ever elusive spotted owl.
They can't have construction in these particular areas because of the spotted owl. So let's involve other resources to, you know, to maybe relocate a spotted owl so that we're not going to be okay with 20% of Flagstaff still being able to be flooded in such a rapid and a very, just a very consequential way.
I spotted owls kind of like some of our DC politicians. I've never seen them. I'm sure it's there, but I've always questioned, and we've seen the amount of lawsuits that have tied up forest mitigation. I think back to Schultz Fire back in 2010 and the subsequent flooding that happened. Mm-hmm. I was told that a lot of that was held up by spotted owl issues, and that this is I don't know if it's happening as much because the one encouraging thing I see is a shift towards the acknowledgement that you can't just let the forest go el natural all the time.
Sure.
And you got to go in there and thin it. It used to be if I were to come out and say, Daniel, go in there and cut down half the dang trees, people would look at you like you're nuts. But if you look along I-17 coming up from Verde Valley, when you're outside of like Munns Park, that area, they are doing some thinning there. And if you look at old photos of northern Arizona forest, the Ponderosa forest, they should take out about half the trees. It's way overgrown. Uh-huh. And we would have a much healthier forest that wouldn't have these ground fires and burn it all down.
Well, and unfortunately, that conversation of fire management, forest management, it's being convoluted with carbon neutrality right now. Don't make any
mistakes. Which is a good transition to our next. Because do we want more trees
to absorb it?
But,
and get us to carbon neutrality? How are we going to create the canopies that are actually going to absorb the carbon?
It's going to look like Jurassic Park out there.
It's going to look like
pterodactyl flying around.
Yeah.
That's something that came up recently. A listener, his name is Newt, sent me an email. And by the way, if you got any comments and you have a question for Daniel, I'll forward the email over to him. I'm sure he'll be glad to answer any questions. You can email me, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. But Newt brought up this story that the Flagstaff has some advisor or whatever on staff. I'm just kind of paraphrasing this off the top of my head. That's looking at figuring out how to take the carbon out of the air somehow and either sequester it or eliminate it somehow. I didn't quite understand if the technology even exists. From your understanding, Flagstaff wants to be carbon neutral by 2030, one of the few cities in Arizona probably that's going for this.
Yeah.
And they want to be the guinea pig leader in this sequestration effort. I don't think this is practical. I think it's unicorn talk here, but your thoughts on it?
Exactly. It's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's very unrealistic. And so when you put all the factors into carbon neutrality and you boil them down to accomplishing this by 2030, you've just set an unrealistic goal that you're willing to throw at this point $200 million towards something that at the end of the day can't even really be measured. And so what I mean by that is there is no mechanism in place that says we're getting closer to carbon neutrality. We have two of the three canopies currently here. You have obviously the forests, and then you have a lot of just the minerals that surround that. And those are supposed to absorb and be able to control certain levels of carbon neutrality.
Okay.
But when you look at the bigger picture, how do you measure its overall effectiveness? And as far as I can tell, they're trying to work with NAU right now to develop a mechanism that would measure we're actually accomplishing our goal, but it's not in place yet. So let's throw $200 million at something that doesn't exist, that may or may not ever come to fruition, that ultimately will not be able to achieve a goal that we've set in place, but we're going to have to pay for it.
And if you can't even measure it and quantify the results, so here it is. 2022, and they want to do this by 2030. My simple math is less than 8 years away. $200 million for the carbon neutrality plan. And that's, you know, that means a lot more. My wife always tells me with projects that we do, personally or as a company, is multiplied time by three and dollars by three at least.
At least.
And I don't see where this money is going to come from. And to what end, I guess I'll ask you, Daniel, because you go down to Phoenix, there's 5.5 million people down there. Quite honestly, Flagstaff and communities in northern Arizona are rounding errors and small developments like anthems in some ways. If you multiply a couple of those, put a couple of those together. I mean, to what end other than getting some kind of badge or trophy saying, oh, Flagstaff did this, they're a leader. Well,
and that's the goal. I think that's the goal, is to appease a polarized agenda that puts goals out there in place just to say we did it first, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Because there's two variables that will never be able to be measured when you put into the overall carbon neutrality plan. That's I-17 and that's I-40.
And the railroad.
You're not going to control the traffic that comes in and out of there. You're not going to control who gets to drive through Flagstaff or Phoenix. I mean, Flagstaff on I-17 or F-40 on any given day. I mean, how is that going to actually have policy put in place that can allow us to achieve the goals of carbon neutrality
and measure all those cars going by? I think it's even deeper than that. I think some of the main roads that go through your communities, you think the city runs them, but they're controlled by ADOT, so they're state run. I think like Route 66, roads like that. Yeah, I mean, they're a lot, 89, 180, things like that. So how do you even quantify this stuff? Yeah, and the railroad is like, they're almost like a country in themselves.
Yeah.
Good luck with.
Yeah. And they have a lot of influence when it comes to some policy and some government here in Flagstaff.
You know?
And, you know, we see also Flagstaff thrives on tourism. So are we going to, limit tourism, and put the task of somehow supplementing your economic budget because we're not going to allow tourism to happen on certain part? Again, it's just an unending and it's an immeasurable, initiative that's in place right now.
We'll continue on next hour with candidate for mayor for Flagstaff, Pastor Daniel Williamson. We'll finish up with him. Plus, I've got more for you, so stick around. Hey, if you're looking for new blinds, shutters, or shades for your home, or hey, maybe even your camper, I could use some new shades on my camper. What I would do and what I have done is call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. Great thing about the Blind Brothers is they're going to lay out all your options, not just the most expensive ones. Plus, you're never going to deal with subcontractors. You deal directly with them. Great Northern Arizona company. I hope you will use them, and I hope you'll tell them that I sent you. Go to their website, too. Check out their monthly specials, theblindbrothers.com. That's theblindbrothers.com. One more time on the number, 928-634-2423. All right, we will finish up the interview with Pastor Daniel Williamson next hour, running for mayor of Flagstaff. Still a lot of ground to cover with him. Plus, if you've got any comments, Olivia and I continue to check for those. I think we'll try to get to some more. We'll see how time pans out for us. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Back in a few.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, we'll finish up my interview with Pastor Daniel Williamson, running for Mayor Flagstaff, plus some updates from our travels. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horowitz here. Olivia is with me as well, at least for a little bit. I think we'll maybe do some comments next segment?
Yeah.
I think we got one from Jillian that we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
Always enjoy when Jillian comments. You can comment anytime. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Also, you can do it right through the website, talkwithjeff.com. That's what Jillian did. And you can comment on any of the podcasts that we have up there, and we have a lot of them now. What is today? Well, it's Wednesday. We know it's Wednesday.
We do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's show number 1395. So lots of different things to listen to, including that Blake Masters interview, which apparently was controversial, according to the national media.
Anything can be if you don't know what's surrounding
yeah,
it.
Yeah, listen to the interview. Context. Yeah, listen to it, and you be the judge. These guys, you know, it's been kind of nice. This we're in our second week. We're heading kind of heading out of Michigan, and we're heading going to start making our way back. Talked about the gas prices last hour, and, you know, $5.19 or something. Arizona is one of the more expensive ones. Michigan is as well.
It's also
which is
funny
where we're
when
right
you switch
now.
From like a more liberal state to like
yeah, the taxes you see it right away. Yeah, and you saw the more mask wearing. We went to one state park in Michigan, and the guy wouldn't let me in the booth. The state park person, and I came in. It was like red alert. He had to open all the windows. You know, and he had the mask on, and I was like, "Oh my God, you're still doing this over here?" But this was a state with Governor Whitmer. I always get confused. I think it's Whitmere.
I have no idea.
Oh no, I'm being my head shake there. It's Whitmere. Sorry. She was one of the three tyrants with Newsom and that guy in New York that got ousted. What was his name? Can't even remember his name either.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, love to hear from you. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And we are checking emails and getting back to you as soon as possible and trying to get those on air as soon as possible as well. Hey, if you're looking to protect your home and you don't want to have your gutters get all clogged up and then it ice dams in the winter, which we're a little ways away from, but also the fire danger that we've talked about with all those pine needles, you should call Gutter Helmets of Northern Arizona. They've got their patented reverse curve system, and, you know, it's a system that'll protect your gutters, and it'll keep everything out of there so it doesn't get all jammed up and packed up full of stuff. Gutter Helmets got 40 years of experience. You don't want to clean those gutters. You don't want to go up on that roof. Then you need to call or text Carl the Gutter Helmet Man right now at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. And, hey, mention the Jeff Orbit Show. Call them, text right now. You can save up to 30%. 928-318-6555. That's Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. All right, Olivia, let's finish up this interview with Pastor Daniel Williamson, and then I think what we'll do is have you come back, and we'll do some comments and stuff and maybe talk a little bit more about our travels. Oh, people should also go to the website about
our
travel videos.
Oh, yeah, to see our videos. They're in the travel section. I don't know, just like a quick recap of each day. I think you'd like them. Just go and watch them. They're real short. And
yeah, we try to keep them about a minute, somewhere between 2 minutes and 5 minutes each. And we recap of sometimes several days, whether we're in New Mexico going through the dystopian kind of deserted towns that are out there. Really weird. As well as our severe thunderstorm issues in Kansas.
Forests and swamps
and
everything.
God. Yeah, it has everything. We've been through everything. We've been cold for the past few days. Now we're going to get back to the hot areas, I guess. Anyway, check that out. Go to talkwithjeff.com. Click on travel. And then also all of our candidate interviews are up at talkwithjeff.com. Click on election 2022. Here's Pastor Daniel Williamson finishing up with that. All right, we're talking with Pastor Daniel Williamson, who's running for mayor of Flagstaff, the primary coming up here July 6th. Those ballots go out August 2nd, the primary, you know, the actual final day for those few people that actually go to the polling places. One real quick thing to recap on this carbon sequestration and this, you know, carbon neutral by 2030 is, yeah, how do you measure any of it? And then how would you actually implement anything? And one more thing that I think ties in well, when we talked about forest health and forest fires, one big forest fire. I don't know how they calculate that in as far as the stuff shooting off, but could you imagine the stuff that a forest fire throws up? We know we've seen burns. So the feds will come in. The Forest Service, or sometimes it's locals, fire departments, things like that. And they'll do even just a controlled burn, and we're smoked out in the city, which is fine because I want that to be mitigated.
Yeah, exactly.
But could you imagine, how would they even measure and calculate those numbers? What do they do? Put their finger up in the air?
Yeah.
Has anyone even given you a rational explanation?
Not one.
No.
Not one. Other than we're going to be the first to accomplish this. And,
yeah.
And again, my response is accomplish what?
Accomplish what? Yeah. And then back to the point of Flagstaff, like so many of the Northern Arizona communities, are tourist towns. Do people park their cars outside before they get in the city limits and pollute the county?
And yeah, how does that work?
Walk in, hovercraft. I mean, I just don't think this is ever well thought out. It's just, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it. And then we see the impacts as far as, I think, inflation and increased costs and of all the stuff they're trying. All right, Daniel, let me ask you about housing before we get you out of here. This has really been a hot button issue for not only people in rural Arizona, but throughout Arizona, even Phoenix. We used to be able to say, if you really wanted to, I had a lot of friends from high school from Flagstaff who went to Phoenix because the housing was cheaper. You could, for a couple $100,000, you probably have a pool.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
Gone.
You can't go there anymore. It's happening throughout the nation though. Do you think this is a cyclical problem? Flagstaff's always more expensive than a lot of communities in Arizona. Do you think the market will work this self out, or does the government need to get all involved and riled up? What do you see coming?
So the 10-year housing plan that currently Flagstaff has in place, there's some language in there that says there's going to be substantial government subsidies for consumers to be able to either rent or to own homes here. I think that's the wrong approach to take. Again, when you're putting substantial subsidies from a government to an individual consumer, you're creating a dependency upon that very same thing,
which we covered earlier.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're creating you're just creating a dependency that ultimately should be unsustainable. So when I talk about the housing market, and so the housing market from HUD at the federal level is broke down to 30% or less of your income is spent on your house, that's affordable housing.
Okay.
Anything above that becomes a burden, becomes a housing burden for you. Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the housing issue, but let's also talk about how are we going to create competitive wages in Flagstaff so that there can be an increase of wages that the end user ultimately gets access to. You know, so if we're going to have subsidies, which I agree, and again, those should be temporary, but let's make sure we're subsidizing the right sector. You know, so if we're going to raise the cost of housing without raising the cost of wages, then we're just creating a more out of balance conversation. And again, that creates a greater gap for the necessity of subsidies. So if we're going to subsidize something, let's look at subsidizing some small businesses so that they can one function and ensure that their livelihood is going to be taken care of, but so that they can pay their people what they ultimately want to pay them to ensure that they have good employees coming back through their doors day in and day out.
Well, we go round and round here though, because I mean, we've seen Flagstaff again want to be the first in the state that embraced, the voters embraced two times, $15 an hour minimum wage. Now it's $15.50. With inflation, I wouldn't be surprised in January you see it go up to $17+ per hour. So they were embracing this. It's going to be great, but now look what it costs to buy anything in the community. It's expensive.
Right.
Things have gone up dramatically. So then, okay, now let's throw in a subsidy for a renter, a homeowner, or a business, because we got to make up for all the extra costs here. And it's just a vicious cycle. And where do you, Daniel, draw the line and say, we just can't do anything about this? Is there a line? Is there a number that we get to where it's just like, the market's going to have to sort this out? And wouldn't it eventually sort it out?
You know, possibly. Possibly. And until that time comes, I don't think from just the people that I've talked to here in Flagstaff that we've got the right people having that conversation. So we're eliminating, and you know, I get it. The housing commission right now is looking for three different people, a builder, a developer, and then someone in the rental area. They're looking for people to come to the table, but we've got to make sure that the right people are at the table. The ones who are putting the bottom lines on these houses, the builders, the developers who are local, they have a much better say in what's driving costs than we do.
I could send them some people.
Yeah.
I could do it, but I'm not too busy.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, man, do I have suggestions. But I think a lot of people that I have, like regular guest hosts as well that come on, like Mark Howard, who's a builder, would tell them a lot about what's going on. But let me just end with this on this topic. let's say we subsidize. I think that's a big push that you're mentioning, you're seeing, that I'm seeing as well, is, okay, subsidize people who come in for rents, maybe even housing subsidies to help with down payments, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But again, where do you draw the line? Can I then just go to Aspen and say, yeah, I get that it's $4 million for a home here or up in Jackson Hole or something and say, right. But you just got to move over and make way because I'm here.
I'm here now.
And that's the way it is. And I have great, look, I have three kids and I'm concerned about, do they stay in Flagstaff or not? Can they afford that? I mean, I couldn't imagine having to come up with a down payment now. But when do we just say, okay, phrase it like that? I'm here, make way. And the people who live here need to pay for it.
Yeah. Here. And again, if we continue to condition people that the government is going to take care of you, you're going to see more and more of that just repeat itself as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a complex, the housing and affordable housing. That's such a complex issue that in some ways I feel like we throw the kitchen sink at it and we just put everything there. But that's probably not the right answer as well. But we've got to do something. We've got to have the right conversations. We've got to have the right combination of resources. And then we've got to probably redefine what affordable housing is actually is.
Well, yeah. What is it now in a place where can you find something under 400 or 500 in a community?
Yeah, rarely.
And then interest rates are rising. Now, of course, there could be a big market. I've seen this. I remember 08. It's going up forever. It's going up forever. Mm-hmm. Different, but everything's different. History doesn't repeat, but the old saying is it oftentimes rhymes. Mm-hmm. Different lending structure that's going on now. But I remember when everything collapsed, for those people who were patient and waited and didn't buy into it, there were a lot of deals. Is that going to happen again? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I wouldn't want someone to make some financial plans my history lesson here, but we'll see what happens. All right, Daniel, this is probably the last time we'll have you in before the primary. Final thoughts out there as people start looking at and deciding. And by the way, we have a 2022 election section on the website, talkwithjeff.com. Then click on election 2022 on the top right corner. And everybody who has come on since the petition signatures were put in, since you became official, even after challenges, and if you weren't listening earlier, Daniel was challenged in a partisan way, simply because he was a Republican.
Yeah.
That's it. But we have that election section for everybody to compare the candidates and figure out who's right. But anyway, final kind of, I don't know what you'd like to say to the voters out there.
Yeah. Well, I think August 2nd is critical. And we can't just let August 2nd come and go and just kind of let that happen. I believe that the other two candidates that are currently on the ballot, it's just going to be more of the same. And so you're not going to have a real option if the other two squeak up and then show up on August 3rd. A real option, a real positive and principled and proven leader in myself, I should appear on that August 3rd ballot that leads up to November 8th. Otherwise, it's just going to be more of the same. You're not going to have a real option to choose from. And I think Flagstaff deserves better. I think we deserve an opportunity to have a good, diverse, principled leader in that office.
All right, Daniel, I appreciate it and best wishes to you. And we'll be watching.
Thank you, sir.
And remember, I've got my election 2022 section up on talkwithjeff.com right on the top bar, right on. You can't miss it. If you want to go back through any of these interviews I'm doing, I'm trying to get the candidates that I think are most relevant to the listening area. And of course, our statewide candidates for governor and Senate. As you heard yesterday, we replayed Blake Masters' interview, which apparently was a controversial interview that national media picked up on. You can get that by going to talkwithjeff.com. Click on election 2022. Hey, don't forget this Saturday coming up at noon on 97.1 FM, also streaming at bigtalkerradio.com. You can hear from Glenn Least on Intelligent Investing, where Glenn and I go over all kinds of things, financial and otherwise. A lot of advice, insurance, things like that. Take a listen every Saturday at noon, 97.1 FM and bigtalkerradio.com. And Glenn, you know, he has his team at WT Wealth Management, the management team there. They have over a century of combined investment management expertise to help you out, especially during these very turbulent times. And they're always looking at things proactively, not reactively. Get a free, no obligation consultation from Glenn. All you got to do is call 928-225-2474. That's 928 225, that's my screen flashes, 928-225-2474. Call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. Hang tight, we'll finish up back in just a minute. Finish up here in just a second with a market update I did with Kelly Broaddus of Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. I've been watching real estate prices as I go across the country, and Arizona's pretty high compared to the rest of the country. There are a lot of cheaper places out there. Some are in the middle of nowhere, of course. You'd probably pick up something if you heard last hour Olivia and I were talking about New Mexico. Probably get something really cheap there, but there are a lot of good places where you can get something for a couple hundred grand still, but that's not a lot. Not much opportunity in Arizona anymore. Anyway, I've got an update here in just a second from Kelly Broaddus that I think you'll find real informative. Hey, I always like to hold a little bit of physical gold and silver in my hands. And I don't give financial advice, but I can tell you personally, for a long time, for decades, I've bought a little bit. And it's good to have that because you never know what these out-of-control governments and the central planners and the money printers are going to do. Inflation's cranking. Gas now, I told you this last hour, $4.95 a gallon nationally, average. I know in Flagstaff, it's well over $5. In Arizona, it's $5.15 throughout the states. You're probably paying a lot in Sedona, and it's just gotten totally out of hand all over the place. So owning a little bit of physical gold and silver is something that I like to do. Call Justin at Desert Gold Exchange. Super high level of customer service. They've been doing this for a long time. Him and his team can help you out and talk to you about IRAs even. They can also talk to you about getting physical gold and silver delivered to you in as little as 72 hours. Give Desert Gold Exchange a call right now. They keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Here's an interview extra with Kelly Broaddus of Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. Talking about here how much the market's changed in the past couple months since we last spoke with her.
Things have changed unbelievably.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get into all that. And Kelly Broaddus, obviously a realtor, you hear her all the time here on the show. And I talk about you quite a bit, actually, Kelly, so in good ways. So what's going on? Let's start with, you have a Supreme Court case. We'll get to that. Let's get into the what's the market doing. The other day on the program, I read an article or there was a report out that new home starts had gone way down. So I started thinking about existing homes. That new home starts had gone down like 17%. So I was thinking, well, what's that mean for existing homes? Because I think there's still a lot of demand out there. But last time we spoke, it was like you couldn't keep them. It was like hotcakes. They were just flipping off quick. Is that what's going on now?
The market has cooled a lot. And, you know, there's certain pockets, certain areas in Flagstaff and Verde Valley that are hot. But and we're still having, you know, couple offers, 2-3 offers. It's not like the 10 and 20 like it was, though. And and I think the rapid rise in the interest rates is what happened. And that is putting a lot of downward pressure on home prices because people simply can't afford what they could afford before. So, I mean, you know, historically, even 5% on interest rates is not bad at all. But we got so used to, you know, 3%, 3.5% that it's shocking. You know?
Isn't that crazy, though, because you go from 3.5 to just 5.5, which historically is not very high.
It
just isn't. And all of a sudden gobs of people are priced out. But I get it because if the mortgage is X dollars and you go over X amount payments per month, you can only afford so much and the bank will only lend so much.
Right. Yep. So that basically what happened. And we went from, you know, last time we talked, maybe there was 100 homes on the market from Winslow all the way to Ash Fork. And today, you know, today there's 301 homes on the market.
Okay,
and
from so triple the amount now.
A lot.
But perhaps less people looking too, though. I mean, is that, or is the same amount of people you think out there searching?
I think people are looking, but I'm having a lot of folks just, you know, saying, take me off the notifications. I'm priced out. I can't do it. You know, so one of two things has to happen. Either people are going to try to figure out how to afford it, or prices of the existing homes are going to have to come down a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how people wave a magic wand and all of a sudden I can afford more. I mean, of course, you can increase your income. Hopefully you could go get another job or this or that. But generally speaking, people are priced out. You're priced out.
Right. And if people want to sell their homes, then they're going to have to come down on those prices, you know?
So, well, they went up a lot, though. I mean, in fairness, I mean, I don't remember what it's the past few years, but I remember after 08 and how everything tanked, and then they slowly went up. It took years and years to go up, and maybe things went, somebody might have had a home in Flagstaff, for example, for 400 that went up to 800 recently.
Right.
So I guess it's all, it's the same old story. It's the timing factor. You bought in the last 6 months to last year or two. Well, yeah, it's a huge issue. You bought 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so our medium sales price right now is 696. That's as of April. That's what it was. 38 average days on the market. But I bet you next month when we talk, if we do, it's going to be different. I bet you it is.
Yeah, we need to talk. Yeah, because I think it was like 697 the end of last year or something like that. But then it spiked up in the beginning of this year even more.
Right.
Yeah, that increase. It's interesting. So you attribute it probably to the interest rates, but then I wonder how many people have settled down as far as moving around the country. And last time we spoke, you were getting calls from all over the country. I just want to get out of wherever I'm at, California, everywhere.
They still are. It's still. And the funny thing is the luxury market, the really high priced homes are still moving. So, you know, there's still a lot of cash out there, a lot of cash, you know?
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Okay. One more that you've gotten. We're talking with Kelly Broaddus. It has to do with a Supreme Court case here in Arizona Supreme Court case. What is it and what's going on?
Okay. So this was a case called the Calway case. And it primarily involved HOAs and CC&Rs. It didn't directly involve short-term rentals, but it affected the HOAs. And the law that they passed is that unless the original CC&Rs addressed a certain issue, for instance, in Continental Country Club, we know if you're in the HOA, you can't have a fence. Well, if the HOA originally did not address that issue, they cannot have an amendment addressing the issue 10 years later. It's non enforceable. They can't, you know, it's got to go away. So how that's all going to happen, I do not know. I imagine there's going to be lawsuits and all kinds of things, but you know, it involves like if the original CC&Rs didn't say you can't have an RV in your yard, then they can't pass a law later saying that you can. Yeah. And then the same with short-term rentals. If a community CC&Rs did not address short-term rentals originally, then they can't address them later.
Which older ones never would have. I mean, if it was the past few years, yeah, but this is a fairly new thing in the history of real estate.
Right. The only way they can do it is if they get 100% vote, which we know that would never happen on any issue.
It happens. It happens in Cuba. 100% of the vote. But no, okay, 100, so impossible.
That, yes, they can do a lesser vote, provided that that the specific issue was addressed in the original declarations. So they can do a lesser vote in that case. But Otherwise, no, it's not going to happen.
So, okay. So an example would be if fences were not mentioned at all in the original CC&Rs, then you would need 100% of the vote. But if there was some kind of regulation on, you can have a split rail fence and it's only 4 feet high, then they could change it as what, do you happen to know what percentage, or does it vary?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it could be changed because fencing was addressed in some way, form or fashion.
Exactly.
For that example. But if short-term rentals is the interesting one, because that was the approach a lot of places have been taking as far as limiting and controlling, and perhaps, and you're the one that brought this up on the program here the end of last year, Country Club in the Flagstaff, East Flagstaff area, went out to a vote and they banned short-term rentals. Neither you or I are a lawyer, but I would question that the CC&Rs from the Country Club of the 1970s originally, or something, I don't even know how old it is, would have mentioned short-term rentals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm guessing if they address, you have to have a 30-day minimum. A lot of CC&Rs say that, right? And, you know, I guess maybe I'll get those original CC&Rs and have an answer for you next time. But okay. Do not think it's addressed, though. I really don't.
Interesting stuff, Kelly. Let's do this. Let's get you. It's been way too long. Let's get you back on next month. I'd have you on every month to do these market updates, because I think it's going to be some interesting times coming up here. And then maybe you'll have some more information on this case a little more, and maybe some specifics for us, how it may impact. Because I think there's a lot of people that are wondering about this, especially the short-term rentals. That's the hot button issue.
It is. Yep.
Okay.
It really is.
All right, Kelly. I appreciate it. Hopefully I still have some equity left next time I talk to you.
All of us.
Yeah, right. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye. All right, and I'm going to try to get Kelly Broaddus back on the show to keep you up to date. We try to do a monthly thing, try to get her when I'm back in Arizona. Remember, you can call Kelly anytime, Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, at 606-6749. That's 928-606-6749. Olivia, I think we have time for at least one comment. I think this came through the website, through talkwithjeff.com, where we have our travel section.
Yes, we have videos of, like, I don't know, just clips we took during the day, and just kind of, at the end of the day, we like to talk about, I don't know, what we saw and everything.
We're
like
due
that.
To update it. I've got Michigan segment that I need to get in there.
And our
moose search that didn't go well. We'll try to get that on as well. Yeah, but Mackinac Island, if you have the opportunity to go to northern Michigan, it's really cool.
It was super fun.
Right, we rode 8 miles. Around the island.
It's like everyone bikes there.
Yeah, there's no cars.
Yeah.
There's no cars. It's a green paradise. Go ahead.
All right, this is from Jillian.
I got to meet Jillian. I got to meet you one of these days. I don't think we've met one of these days at some event or somewhere. We're going to meet up. I appreciate all your comments over the years.
Excellent homeschooling opportunities for the Orvitz family on the road, including deer, elk, bear, and especially water.
Oops, I hit the wrong button. I was laughing.
A minute ago, you told me to read this, and you were like, deer, elk, beer? I know. Water? And I was like, that says bear. Can you read?
I read it real quick, and I saw bear, and I automatically thought beer. It's well, it's getting late in the day here, folks. But she did say beer, right?
Yes. The source of life and Canadian Labatt's beer, eh?
Eh? Eh? Yeah. Okay. Homeschooling opportunity. Traveling is a great opportunity to learn a lot and learn about instead of some of the crap they crammed down to kids in these public schools, they should put them on a bus and drive them across country for 2 weeks. I mean, the parents and teachers would go nuts, but it'd be the best opportunity, especially the folks who think that the world's about to end and that live in the big cities and it's all paved over. Put them on a bus, drive around and see how vast and large
Michigan.
It is. Yeah. And see how many resources and how much open space and how much what this country has to offer. That's what I highly recommend that. Anyway, thank you, Jillian. Appreciate that. We hope to get some bear and beer, bear meat and beer. And remember, we've got the travel section up at talkwithjeff.com. That's talkwithjeff.com. Click on travel right there. Good stuff. And I think you'll enjoy some of the quick videos. 1 minute to 5 minutes, I think, is what they average. All right. That's it for today.
Wow. Well, see you tomorrow, I guess.
See you tomorrow. Yeah, Representative Walt Blackmun, in-depth interview with him on the candidate side. By the way, they're in session until at least June 20th. I texted him the other day, texted me that they're still stuck down there. Try to get you an update on that. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Go to talkwithjeff.com. Appreciate everybody who's done that.
Leave us an email, too.
Leave us an email as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.